I would invite you now to rise for the reading of our sermon text. It's found in John chapter 18, beginning at verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." So far, the reading of our sermon text. And let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Today, as we listen to this word, and as we ponder what Pilate said, we ask that you would conform us to the truth. We ask that you would shape in us true faith that knows of nothing to trust but you and your salvation. We ask today also that you would sanctify us by the truth. Set us apart for yourself, for your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity to study about the Romans and find out what they were like. But the Romans thought of themselves as great speakers. They studied public speaking with, in some ways, a single-minded fervor if they were going to be involved in the politics of the day. They wanted to employ the perfect turn of phrase and lay out ironclad arguments with a flourish. How ironic it was that the most famous Roman words ever spoken were not from the great statesman, not from Cicero, not from Caesar, but from this lowly backwater governor named Pontius Pilate. He asked the question of Jesus, "What is truth?" When we read it in context, maybe we think to ourselves, "What a dumb question. Truth is what's true, it's what's real. The sun is bright today. It's the truth." Truth is just plain objective fact, and our acceptance or rejection of it or our ignorance of it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change the truth. It's not going to go away. I think nowadays we are beginning to question even that. We're getting cynical like Pilate. We turn on the television set, first to one channel, and then to another. And it's like we're living in two different worlds. We don't know what's true anymore. So maybe we ask in our hearts sometimes what Pilate was asking then, out of his cynicism. What is truth? It's like, can we ever know? We Christians like to think of ourselves as being on the side of truth, as Jesus put it. We want to stand up for the truth of God's word. Trouble comes when we realize that there's an awful lot of truth in the book, and it isn't easy to stand up for. We shake our head at Pilate's question. But don't we, without even thinking about it, sometimes adopt the same frame of mind that he had when he asked Jesus that question, what is truth? And when we do, that's when we must pray. Forgive us, Lord, when we abandon your truth. There are times when things God has to say don't really seem to fit into our lives, when his truth is just downright inconvenient. Pilate found himself in just such a situation on Good Friday morning. He didn't want to get caught up in some religious debate. The Pharisees disagreed with the Sadducees, and the Sadducees disagreed with the teachers of the law, and the Herodians were going one direction, and the Essenes going in another. And every day he could have spent all his time taken up with these different religious opinions. In some ways, we live in a world that's like that today, and there are so many denominations of Christianity anymore, and maybe we wonder in our minds, who's got the time to sort that out? Maybe we think to ourselves, well, who's right? I'm sure those things were going on in Pilate's mind as he met with Jesus. But Pilate's job was not to decide religious arguments. He was to govern this rebellious province. And more than a few times, Pilate's superiors in Rome had raked him over the coals because of what was going on there in the Holy Land. Matters got out of hand frequently, skirmishes and rebellions. The empire wanted order, and any procurator who could not guarantee it would soon be looking for another job. And along came Jesus from Nazareth. They called him King of the Jews, and Pilate had to deal with it. Think of what an insult that title was to Caesar. But Pilate's interrogation proved that there was not a shred of rebellion on Jesus' mind. He wasn't looking to start something. And Pilate felt free to dismiss him as just another blathering Jewish prophet. Wanted to clear him out of the agenda. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. But Pilate had no time to side with anyone's so-called truth. It was just a distraction for him as far as he was concerned. How could he know religiously what was right and what was wrong? And it really didn't matter to him that much. He just wanted to govern and keep his position. It was all a distraction to him. And so that famous question, what is truth? Well, that's how he dismissed the whole thing. And think of what he was dismissing. He's standing before the very Son of God, the source of truth, and he just pushes him away. What is truth? Whatever. Sometimes we find it inconvenient to try to fit God's truth into our lives. It's a lot of work to make a living. It's a lot of work to go to school. It's a lot of work to keep up the house. Those of you who are a little further along in years, remember how science and technology was going to make everything so much easier. I still laugh when I hear paperless office. What a ridiculous thing. It's a nonstop struggle to keep our heads above the water. Things are going on all the time. There are times when the eternal truth doesn't seem that important to us. How can we have family devotions every day when the family seems to be going in 20 different directions all day long? When do we find time to read God's word? When we have to rush. Prayer is a great idea. We know it. But when do we take the time to do it? I mean, intentionally. And then come those times when God's truths seem to get in the way. His commandments are often like that, forbidding the things that we feel that we need to do or want to do, commanding those things that we feel we don't have time to attend to or we just don't want to get involved in. Even the gospel. The good news about Jesus sometimes seems to intrude into the needs of the moment. Salvation in Christ. Heaven itself can seem like a pie in the sky proposition when you're staring at a stack of bills, when the homework's piling on, when you're out of work, when you can't find a job, when you're sick. That's when we talk like Pilate. What is truth? Nice, but not useful. After a while, even coming to church seems like a waste of our time because it doesn't seem to accomplish anything, especially what we need to have happen in our earthly lives. So we end up asking, what is truth? But this is tunnel vision. When we focus all our attention on earthly things alone, we can't see the rest of eternity. Pilate couldn't see past the business of being the Roman governor. He couldn't fit the eternal truth into his life. And neither can we by nature. That's why we Christians need to learn to pray, Father, fit our lives to your eternal truth. Certainly there are many things to do in this world, many things that we need to get done, and it's important that we perform our duties in this world. But let us widen our view and hear what God has to say. We and all this around us will only be here for just a short time. Eternity definitely lies before us, and our Creator and Savior wants us to focus our attention on that fact too. Pilate had no idea of the eternal significance of what was going on right in front of him with Jesus. He was absorbed in what was important for him at the time. He wasn't paying attention. And there in his courtroom was played out the drama of the ages, the battle between good and evil, between the seething hatred of the devil and the passionate saving love of God. And no less than the Son of God, the promised Savior of the world, was inviting this man to come in on the side of God's truth, to rise above the pettiness and the commonplace affairs of this world and to see the salvation of the Lord. The divine hand was there, reaching out to him, straining to him, but Pilate didn't have any time for it. He went on with the earthly affairs, his everyday routine. Listen to what Jesus says. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? That's what Pilate should have been thinking about. That's what we should remember. Great success in this world might be within our grasp, but what good will it have been if we miss eternity with God? Your funeral might be fancier, your survivors might be able to use your fortune for a little while, but what good is it if you have all these things instead of eternal life in heaven? The rich fool of the parable was really focused on his business affairs. After a bumper crop, he had to make plans on where to put all the grain. He wanted to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones. He'd be set for life. Do you remember how that parable ends? God speaks to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" If we focus on the things of this world, we will miss what God has to say. This important truth. In that most famous Bible passage, most of us know it, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus died to redeem us. Jesus died to redeem us from sin and from what St. Peter calls the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. That's what Pilate had in hand that day, when the Son of Man, the Son of God, stood before him, offering him salvation. He had in mind the empty way of life handed down to him from his forefathers. You and I have been given the truth that our journey through this world is just that, a journey. And our true destination is the one that Jesus Christ gave his life to win for us. We are to be with God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Our life itself is now hidden with Christ in God, Paul says. And even now we are being caught up into a greater life than this one that we think about in the everyday world. We've been saved from our sins by the life and death and resurrection of that one who stood before Pilate, God's only Son. And this is eternal truth. And we pray that the Lord would fit our lives around that truth. Our treasures are not stored up here on earth, but in heaven above. It's true that we live in this world, but we're no longer a part of it. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, it is for the glory of God and his truth. We're living sacrifices to him, doing all that we can to spread the good news of his love and salvation in Christ. And in the light of that saving truth, we pray for God to make his truths not just a bolt-on addition to our lives, but the very foundation of who we are. We pray that we'd never allow ourselves to entertain that foolish notion that the truths of God's commands don't really apply to us, or that his gospel doesn't apply to us. We pray that we never think that way. We pray that we might value God's truth as the greatest of our treasures to carry through this life with us. And we pray that all we do can make it the greatest treasure for other people as well. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. But he didn't stay around for an answer. He wasn't interested in it. He got on with what he thought to be more important that day. What a shame. He missed the sacrifice that was made for him. He missed the love of God on that cross. He didn't even realize what was going on when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning for him. And so we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, forgive us when we fall into Pilate's error. Let us fervently seek out your truths in your holy word, and let us subordinate everything in our lives to your eternal truth. As your dear Son prayed for us, so now we pray for ourselves. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.